Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I want to do something I've never done before, and I want to preach through an entire book of the Bible in 17 minutes. It's a short book of the Bible, the third letter of John, written about 85 AD by the Apostle John to a man named Gaius. We don't know who Gaius was, but this letter will have some really good lessons for us. So would you take out your Bible, turn to the third letter of John, not the Gospel of John, but way in the back near the end of the Bible, near Revelation, the third letter of John, and let's learn lessons for our lives from this very short letter. Let's pray. Father, now as we open the Bible, would you open our ears, our hearts, open my mouth, and God, we ask the Holy Spirit now to speak to us and deal with us and bring us closer to you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Third John, third letter of John, verse 1. The elder, that's John the Apostle, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Now, who was Gaius? Well, we don't know. So here's my first lesson for you. The Bible doesn't tell us everything. I mean, he probably was a good acquaintance of John, but there's no detail given. So my pet peeve is when people dogmatically add things to the Bible. Like, we don't know who Gaius was. Yes, we do. God gave me a vision, and God told me that Gaius was a Roman soldier. No, don't do that. If the Bible is black and white, we need to be black and white. If the Bible is unclear or fuzzy and doesn't give us details, leave it alone. Even the Apostle Paul said, now I know in part, then heaven I shall understand fully. So don't make things up. I'll give you an example. If you go to our website, pastorstudy.org, go there and then hit the F button for Facebook. I write lots of articles about false teaching in the church, and there's a lot in there. So somebody writes a response, the Bible teaches there are three world ages, and we are in the third world age. And she goes into detail. I'm thinking, where is she getting this? And I don't doubt she's sincere, but it's just not in the Bible. And either she's making it up, or she's following some teacher who claims that all that's in there. You know, don't do that. If it's not in the Bible, just leave it alone. I'll tell you another pet peeve of mine. It's when a TV preacher has charts and graphs to show you how the second coming of Christ is going to happen. Now listen, I believe in the second coming of Christ. He's coming down in the clouds, raising the dead, judging the world, new kingdom, etc. And I believe in the Antichrist will come first. I believe all that. But exactly how and when and the details of all that, think how wrong we got the first coming of Christ. So when people are dogmatic on exactly how everything has to happen, be careful. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Here's the second lesson. Pray for people's health and their soul. I'll tell you something that doesn't make sense to me. It's when people, oh Lord, please heal Uncle Joe of his cancer, but they never pray for his soul. Listen, I would rather have cancer die of it and go to heaven than have cancer get healed of it and eventually go to hell. So when you're praying for people's health, which is a good thing to do, make sure you pray for their soul. I heard there was a pastor who said this, I would rather save one human soul than heal 1,000 human bodies. I'm going to repeat that. He said, I would rather save one human soul than heal 1,000 human bodies. Third letter of John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth, Gaius. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Here's the next lesson. The greatest joy is to know that your children are saved. The opposite is also true. The greatest sorrow is to know your children are lost. You know, we get a lot of letters and emails, and some of them go like this: Pastor Brock, please pray for my daughter. I raised her as a Christian. She has rejected Christ. She's living in sin. Or pray for my son. I don't know what happened. We did it, and now he has just joined a strange group, doesn't believe in Christ anymore. They're heartbreaking letters, and I do pray for those people. But now and then you might get a letter: Pastor Brock, praise the Lord, finally, after all these years, my daughter's going to church again. And so it's a great joy. I mean, I've shown you this before, but these are my prayer lists. And I think I made these up when I was about 21 years old or so. Family members, friends, and people used to... I've been praying for these people for decades and decades. My joy is some of these people are now saved. My sorrow is... a lot of them still aren't. But I should say this too. In this verse, John is not talking about his literal children. He's talking about his spiritual children. It's a joy when John the Apostle knew that his spiritual children were walking with the Lord. So I thought of this. If you've ever led anyone to the Lord, try to remember to pray for him. I mean, I can tell you my first convert. I was 20 years old, I was in evangelism class at Bethel University, and we had to go door to door and share the gospel. It scared me to death. And we had these little, do I have it here? We had these little four spiritual law booklets, and we go to the door and ring the doorbell, and can we read this to you? And you read the little booklet about Christ came to save us, die on the cross, rose from the dead. Would you like to accept Christ? So I'm not doing it. I'm just following the trainer. And so she turns to me and she says, well, Tom, the next door is yours. So this 16-year-old Catholic boy answers the door. Can I read this through to you? And sure. And I read it through to him, and there's a part where you read, would you like to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he says, I would. And I thought, you're kidding. And on his doorstep, he prayed and he received Christ. That was my first convert. And you know what? Now and then, probably not nearly as much as I should, now and then I still pray for him. So if you have spiritual children, people you've led to the Lord like John the Apostle, pray for them. Next is verse 5. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them, these Christian missionaries, on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Here's the next lesson. Support missionaries. In that verse, John is saying, Gaius, support the missionaries. So let me ask you, do you have missionaries that you support? At your church, does your church have missionaries that your church prays for, that your church gives money to? Listen, I want to encourage you, if you don't, every month, find a good mission or two or three, and every month, send them some support. Pray for them. Verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, this church leader, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Here's the next lesson. We need to name the false teachers. John does that here. Beware of Diotrephes. Now, I'm going to show you a picture here. You might want to close your eyes before I show it. But I'm going to show you a picture of there's a reason for this, of two women kissing. So if you want to close your eyes, but here are two women kissing. This woman, this one here, is a lesbian pastor in the liberal evangelical Lutheran church in America, of which I used to be a part. I led my congregation out and we joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. But there's the Lutheran woman pastor, lesbian, out lesbian. And if you go to her website or Facebook page, it got cut off, but this is a rainbow, all the rainbow colors. This pastor will marry you, gay lesbians, and support you as you access reproductive care, that's abortion, full stop, no exceptions. So you want an abortion, you want a gay wedding, here's a Lutheran pastor that's going to do it for you. But you know why I share this with you? That woman pastor is now just elected Bishop of the Metropolitan New York Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. That makes eight. The ELCA Lutherans now have eight homosexual bishops. So I wrote about this on my Facebook page, an article about all that. And here's what I got back, a response. Pastor Brock, you spend your time degrading others. We should all be like Mother Teresa. And if you wouldn't have time to put other people down. A mark of a Christian is how much you love. Where's your compassion? Your post is about condemnation, not love. Jesus preached love. Just go to a soup kitchen and start preaching to the poor and leave your politics at the door. Well, gratefully, some people, again, go to pastorstudy.org, hit the F button, and you'll see all those Facebook articles and people came to my defense, basically saying, it's a loving thing to point out false teachers because Pastor Brock doesn't want people to go to hell. He wants them to go to heaven. So we need to expose what's going on. And, you know, I thought of the book of Galatians and the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul spends lots of time in those letters exposing and counteracting false teaching. Why? Because he loves people. He didn't hate them. He loved them. And I said in my article, you know, that lesbian bishop now, number eight, she's right in line with the ELCA and on abortion because the ELCA pays for abortion for any reason. And I'm pointing that out not because I hate people. I want people to be in a good church where their souls will be nourished and where their offering dollars won't kill babies. That does not make me hateful. So because it's loving to point out false teachers, and John names Diotrephes, may I name for you some false teachers. Number one, Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith taught there are thousands of gods. And if you want to be, if you are a good Mormon, you can become a god and get people to worship you someday. Just like our God that we worship, he used to be a Mormon man on another planet. He didn't used to be God. He became God. None of that's in the Bible. False teacher number two, Charles Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witness Church. Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is God. They deny that he physically rose from the dead. They deny that there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in three persons. False teacher number three, Mary Baker Eddy, founder of the Christian Science Church. Mary Baker Eddy taught that sin does not really exist. It's kind of a thing you think exists, but it doesn't really if you thought properly. Well, listen, if sin doesn't really exist, why did Jesus die on the cross? Somebody said Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. Another false teacher, and this one gets kind of strange, certain denominations. Now, I'm going to name for you some denominations that used to be good, used to be biblical, but now they're becoming cult-like. And I don't doubt that there are many sincere Christians still in these denominations, but a lot of their leaders, their pastors, their bishops, their hierarchy have become false teachers. And some of their leaders teach that Jesus is one of many ways to heaven, that Jesus didn't die on the cross in our place for our sins. How can you deny that and be saved? They teach that sometimes we need to pray to God the Mother, because our Father who art in heaven is kind of sexist. They promote the transgenderism, the homosexuality. They promote abortion. So let me name those denominations. The United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which I used to be a part, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, the Disciples of Christ, and as of 1 year ago, the United Methodists voted to ordain practicing homosexuals. They're going to start doing gay weddings. I'm not being hateful. I want you to be part of a good church. If you're part of one of those churches, I urge you, leave and find a better denomination. What I learned from the third letter of John is sometimes you got to name Diotrephes. Verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Here's the next lesson. You will know them by their fruits. So I had two Mormon missionaries at my door. We had a long, polite, but difficult talk. I think it went on at least 2 hours. Well, they're getting up to leave, and one of them says, well, the vision that Joseph Smith had when he saw the angel Moroni, that vision started such a huge religious movement. You've got to admit, that vision was supernatural. It was either from God or the devil. And I said, I'll grant you that. And he said, oh, but when we see the fruits, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. When we see the fruits of that vision to Joseph Smith, that he started this wonderful church, the Mormon church, very family-centered, very moral, we know where that vision came from. And I said, yeah, I look at the fruits of Joseph Smith. He believes there are thousands of gods. You can become a god if you're a good Mormon. It's basically salvation by good works. He teaches that God didn't used to be God, but became a... I said, I look at all that, and I know exactly where that vision came from. And they left. But my point is, you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 12, last lesson. Demetrius, this is somebody else, has received a good testimony of everyone and from the truth himself, so he's a good guy. We also had our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Here's the last lesson today. The importance of Christian fellowship. John is saying, I don't want to just write you. I want to be with you. In other words, just the letter, third letter of John isn't enough. He wants to see these people, be with them. He wants to have Christian fellowship with them. You know, now I've gotten a number of emails that go like this. Pastor Brock, I don't go to church anymore. I just read the Bible by myself. And what I respond, if you read the Bible by yourself, the Bible tells you to go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself with other Christians. So John is saying here, pen and ink is not enough. The Bible's great, it's wonderful, but it's not enough. The Bible tells you to be part of a Christian church. So if you don't go to church, find a good Bible preaching church and go every week. All right, let's summarize all this. What does this short letter mean? Well, here's the summary. The Bible doesn't tell us everything, so don't add to it. Pray for people's health and for their soul. The greatest joy is to know your children are saved. Find some good missionaries to support. We need to name the false teachers, and we do that out of love. We know them by their fruits and the importance of Christian fellowship. I'm going to close with one more thing. Maybe you've heard this, but there was an older man that went to church every Sunday. like clockwork for decades of his life. One Sunday, he didn't show up in church. People thought, well, this is odd. A few of the church people went over, looked through his window. There he is lying on his living room floor. You know, they burst down the door. They got an ambulance. They brought him, got to the hospital. It saved his life. Why? Because he was in church every week. Listen, if you're not a churchgoer, find a good Bible-believing church. It can save your eternal soul. It can save your physical body. But the point is you need to nourish your faith in Christ and not try to go this alone. That is what we learn from one of the shortest books in the Bible. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, the first letter is actually a comment. It says, the Trinity is a false teaching invented by the Catholic Church in the second century. It is nowhere in the Bible. Your comment.
So let me respond to that. Our TV show now is on Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts. So your cousin, God bless her, takes little clips and puts our TV show in 30-second sound bites. So tons of people are seeing our show that have never seen it. Because I wear a collar, which Lutherans and Episcopalians wear, but a lot of Catholics wear them, I get a lot of people thinking I'm a Catholic. You pedophile, stay away from my kids. And then somebody, God bless them, responds, he's not a Catholic priest, he's a Lutheran pastor. But I want to say this. The huge majority of Catholic priests are not pedophiles. And that has been a horrible scandal in that church. But come on, you know. So anyway, I digress. Back to the question. Catholics believe in the Trinity. I'm a Lutheran. Catholics, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, all Christians believe in the Trinity. In fact, we just talked about false teachers. The way you can spot a false denomination is if they deny one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This person, I don't know if he's a Jehovah's Witness or what, but he says, but Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. Well, he's right that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The Catholic Church did not invent the Trinity. The Trinity invented the church. God is, and if you look at through Old and New Testaments, the Old and New Testaments, if you put all the verses together, teach there's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, okay, the word is not in there. The concept is in there. The last words out of Jesus' mouth on earth in Matthew are baptized in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good answer. I have a dear friend who asked her pastor to anoint her with oil and have the church pray over her because she was having a very serious operation. He said he didn't want to make the newer people in the church feel uncomfortable, and so he declined.
I can't imagine a pastor doing that. And she is talking about, we had a program where we talked about James chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Is anyone sick? Let them call for the elders and pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man. So I believe if you get sick, you call for the elders of the church and say, Pastor, can you bring an elder and would you pray over me and anoint me with oil? And this pastor said, no, I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What?
I know.
Anyway, that's crazy. So go ahead.
What do you think she should do?
Well, if it's a good church otherwise, I guess I'd forgive the guy and stay. But if it's off in other ways, I don't know. That's a horrible thing, though.
Yeah,
somebody should politely confront that pastor and say, James chapter 5 says what it says. Aren't you going to follow that? Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our church has a new pastor. Excuse me. Our church has a new pastor who is pro-homosexual and sometimes refers to God as mother. Shouldn't we stay and fight? I think if we leave, we are handing the church over to the wrong people.
All right. I'm a former ELCA Lutheran pastor. I was in that denomination for decades, trying to turn the church around. Shouldn't you stay and fight? We did. And we lost and lost and lost. Finally, in 2009, they voted to go ahead and affirm homosexual behavior. That's when a lot of churches left. In her situation, if the congregation won't leave the ELCA, then I myself would have to say, look, I can't be part of this denomination anymore, and I would personally leave. If staying and fighting really might help and really might help get the church out, then maybe you do stay and fight. But if the pastor's pro-gay and the elders are pro-gay, and I think I'd move on.
Okay, yeah. Good answer. What churches would you recommend as biblical?
Well, you know, I just preached against the ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the United Methodist Church. But all of those churches have good alternatives. Mm-hmm. If you want to leave the ELCA Lutherans, you join the Missouri Synod Lutherans or the Free Lutheran Church or the Wisconsin Synod or the North American Lutheran. There are good alternatives. That's true for the Methodists now. A lot of people are leaving the United Methodist Church over what they did last year by affirming homosexual behavior. Lots of Bible-believing Methodists now have left the United Methodist Church and joined something called the Global Methodist Church. So there are good alternatives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I believe Martin Luther was a false teacher, and because he left the Catholic Church and founded his own religion, we now have thousands of Protestant denominations. Everyone should become a Catholic and return to the true church that Jesus himself founded.
Okay. First of all, Martin Luther did not leave the Catholic Church and found his own church. Mm-hmm. He was kicked out of the church, excommunicated by the Pope, and the ban of the empire was put on him, so anybody that found him could kill him. He had to hide out for a year. And those Renaissance popes could be horrible. And, all Martin Luther did was basically say, we shouldn't be paying for indulgences to give the Catholic Church more money to get our grandparents out of purgatory. And the Pope just kind of went a bit ballistic. And so that's the first part. Yes, Jesus founded the church. He didn't found the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Yes, the church would become the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church. I think with Luther, God was restoring the church to its origins in the New Testament. So I think the church is bigger than the Roman Catholic Church. There
okay.
we go. Yeah.
Do we have time for another
one? Let's see. Sure.
How do I find a good missionary to support?
Right. If you go to charitynavigator.org, you'll see a lot of Christian mission, and it tells you who's above board and who isn't. Like if it's a 90%er, that's a good church. If it's not, I like what's called International Christian Concern. You can Google that. Voice of the Martyrs, Timothy Initiative, Samaritan's Purse. But there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us. You can go to our website, pastorstudy.org, and see our TV shows, see our Facebook articles about current events. And there you are. Thanks for joining us.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.